Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
And so here in Genesis 22, we're going to have to see a continuation on Abraham's story as a difference maker, and a difference he made, not just for his own family, but for generations to come, for God's people, including us now. So let's pray in and dive in together. Amen. All right. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you for this time we get to come together as your people, called by you, to hear more and to know more of you. I pray, God, in this time that I would decrease and you would increase. Holy Spirit, come, have your way. Open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to everything you want to teach us this morning. I came in to see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So once again, we are in Genesis 22, starting off today. I'm reading at the NIV version. And this first portion is entitled, Abraham Tested. All right. Verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham for a second time from heaven for a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This next portion is entitled Nahor's Sons, verse 20. Sometime later, Abraham was told, Milcah is also a mother. She has borne sons to your brother Nahor. Uz, the firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight sons to Abraham's brother Nahor. His concubine, whose name was Ruma, also had sons, Teba, Gaham, Tahash, and Maaka. Amen to God's word. All right. Get a sip of water if you need to. Get a nice little stretch in there. Let's dive in. All right, so before we really dive in, I'll say this story is actually very personal to me. So we actually soaked this chapter back in the summer a couple of times, but especially in the summer of 2022, when I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. And so my husband and I were walking, went for a hike one day, and we're talking, we just found out we were pregnant. We're talking about baby names, as you do, right? And so we just soaked this chapter. And so my husband actually suggested the name Moriah. And so over the course of my pregnancy, we thought about a couple other names, but the next few weeks and months of my pregnancy, this story and this chapter and these themes of Mount Moriah kept coming up for 9 months. And so it's actually how my daughter got her name. And for my own self personally, she became a reminder and a spiritual marker for me of Moriah Faith. That's her name, Moriah Faith. And the kind of faith we're going to dive into today and what it means to have a heart and a purpose to be a difference maker, right? And so we're actually going to study today, a character study on Abraham in this chapter, so we can see what we can learn from him. Become a difference maker for generations to come, not just today, but generations to come. And so I'm calling this the Abrahamic marks of a difference maker. Okay, we'll dive in together. So there's four different things I've found that really stood out to me talking about the story of Abraham and how to become a difference maker like him. The first point here is obeying God, not out of obligation, but have submitted, joyful obedience. Two key things, submitted and joyful obedience. Starting here in verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. If you know me, one of the things I love is this Hebrew word, here I am. In Hebrew, it's called hineni. It's made up of two different portions, hine and ani, which means here I. But hina is actually translated more accurately as behold. So you're saying, behold, here I am. And actually, in the King James Version, King James translation, it's how it's translated, behold, here I am, which makes it a much stronger word than just saying, here, So hineni is actually a declaration of readiness and ability and desire to serve. It's an unequivocal commitment. It's saying, yes, I will do it before you even know what that doing is, right? It's not when you're sitting in class, back in the day, and the teacher's taking attendance, you're like, so and so here, so and so here, Heather Knoll, here I am. It's not like a haphazard, like, I'm here. It's no, here I am, hand raised, purpose, hand to the sky, like, I'm ready to go. In the New Living Translation, and also in the Passion Translation, it says, yes, he replied, here I am. And the Message Translation says, yes, answered Abraham, I'm listening. And those are the key things, right? It's not just, shooting your hand up like, okay, yeah, teacher, I'm here for class. No, it's here I am, let's go, let's do this. God, I'm listening, I'm ready to go, right? And that's the response we can only give if we fully trust the character of the person giving the call. AKA God, right? And so it's not, and again, it's not just a, he's not begrudgingly saying it. It's, here I am. Like, he honors God. He loves God. He trusts God so much. No matter what God's going to say after this, he's saying, yes, I'm ready. Yes, let's do this, right? And that's a season, like I said, myself, I had to learn, for not just that pregnancy, but even beyond the pregnancy, right? I had my own personal Moriah faith season where I had to learn what it means to have joy in submission. Almost like an oxymoron, right? Joy in submission. I had to learn myself to trust the plans and the promises of God like never before. And honestly, I'm still learning some days more than others, right? How to keep pressing in deeper to that trust, deeper into that joy, more humbly into submission, right? But
Interesting, by the way.
this past season, I've been finding more of that true joy, right? That true peace that comes through submission by saying, God, I trust you. God, I know your character. God, I don't know what you're about to do, but I want to see it. I want to be a part of it, right? And especially as difference makers, this is so key, because that enthusiasm, right? The wholehearted passion, wholehearted submission to God is what starts this whole rest of this chapter, this whole rest of this journey, right? And it leads to my second point of what a difference maker needs to have, and it's a willingness to persist in the difficult journey God lays before us, trusting him in the journey. So again, if you go back to verse one, we're still here, right? Verse one, it says, God tested Abraham, you know? And what he was calling Abraham to go through and experience, it wasn't a last minute accidental decision. It was an intentional choice to further deepen his relationship with Abraham, from God to Abraham, and also for Abraham to deepen his relationship with God. It's mutual. It's that two-sided contract, right? A covenant. God's coming down through. It's a covenant promise we'll read about. It's a two-sided contract. God's not going to ask or do something more than he's going to ask us to do too, right? And again, this whole chapter is called Abraham Tested. You know, just because you're a Christ follower doesn't mean your life is going to be easy. If there's a Christ follower listening to this right now who has had an easy life, please put in the chat. Please text me. Please find me at church and let me know, because I've yet to find a Christian who has an easy life just because they're a Christ follower, okay? So please let me know. I would love to meet you. Just because you're a Christ follower doesn't mean your life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean you won't go through trials or tests. And yes, we do dumb stuff. We're human. We're imperfect. And there are some days we set our own trials up for ourselves, right? There are some days we make our own tests. Okay? So sometimes it's on us sometimes, right? And yet there's still sometimes today where God will intentionally give us a test or a trial for the same reason as he gave one to Abraham, to deepen his relationship with us and our relationship with him. It's verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. At this point, Abraham was 100 years old, remember, when Isaac was born. And so a couple different little research, you know, no one knows exactly how old that Isaac is at this time. Some estimate he can't be any younger than 5, right? And some say he's probably mid to late 30s. So, regardless how old he actually is, Abram's already 100 years old when Isaac's born. The older Isaac is in all this, the older Abraham also is too, right? So you're asking a 100-plus-year-old man to take 3-day journey up to a mountain region, right? Side note too, as we go into the Easter season, Mount Moriah, this region, actually later became Jerusalem, where Solomon built his temple in 2 Chronicles 3. The Moriah region where Abraham actually goes to is actually to the west is Mount Zion, and to the east is the Mount of Olives. And so we're already seeing here, I'm not going to focus too much today, but with Easter coming up, right? And talking about some of the Easter symbols of the Mount of Olives that Jesus goes to. You see how this kind of foreshadows a lot of Easter, right? Again, not getting into too much right now today, but a lot of this chapter, if you go back in the symbolism and the parallelness of Abraham and his son Isaac, and God the Father with his son Jesus, it's really beautiful. And we're seeing it how generationally and foreshadowing and parallels are happening because of Abraham being obedient and being a difference maker, right? So he imparts this journey that he calls Abraham to. It says, early the next morning, which means there's no hesitation, there's no second thoughts, there's no waiting till the right time, right? God asked Abraham to do something. Abraham went with joyful obedience to do it, right? I'm a morning person. Maybe the morning's not joyful for everybody, right? But when you have obedience to what God's calling you to, no matter how tough the journey is, how difficult the path ahead is, he will give you the strength to do it. Okay, none of us are 130 plus years old like Abraham is, right? So God can give, if he can give Abraham the strength to do it, he can give you the strength to do it too. Amen. And says how Abraham loaded his donkey. He had cut, and it says when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out, right? It shows that Abraham was not, again, over 100 years old. But he's not afraid to put in the work to accomplish what God called him to do. It says how he even took two servants with him. And yet the servants were the ones cutting up the wood. The servants didn't load up the donkey. The servants are going along with him and Isaac. But Abraham is leading the way. He's putting in the work. He's having the persistence and the humility and the ownership of what God's called him to do. That he's not going to let anyone else take that place and do the work for him, right? He's not afraid or not hesitant to do what needs to be done. Again, all through God's strength and with a heart of joyful, submitted obedience, right? Continue on here. The third thing that makes Abraham a difference maker, right, is he sees sacrifice as an act of worship. We talk so much about sacrifice in different areas of our lives, but sacrificing to God, right? And how we don't like sacrifice, you know? We as a culture, we as humans, especially in the Western culture, don't like hard things. Don't like sacrifice. It's all that's for someone else to do. Oh, that's just for, you know, that time, that place, that season, but now it's different. God calls us to sacrifice. One of the things I read a lot about in terms of sacrifice is this idea of normalizing sacrifice. And that, again, sacrifice is an act of worship to God. It's joyful, submitted obedience. Even yesterday, Pastor Tim talked about how big vision requires big sacrifice, right? Talk about Liquid Church and the sacrifices that him and his family have made and their church has made. Big vision requires big sacrifice. And think about this again, 100 plus year old man journeying through a mountain region for 3 days with wood, with supplies, all these different things to go sacrifice his son. And at this point, human sacrifice was not something that God had ever done before, right? It's only the chapter 22 of Genesis, right? So a lot of these things still haven't been done yet or talked about yet. And at the time, Abraham was a pilgrim. He was a nomad, right? He traveled around and he lived in the land of Canaan. And so many priests of the Canaanite gods at the time would actually say that their gods demanded human sacrifice. So these pagan gods, pagan people, were having human sacrifices to these false gods. And yet Abraham was never called to do that by God until now. He thought God was different. So we don't know what he was even thinking at this point about God, right? And yet, he was trusting and stepping out in faith to sacrifice his son before he knew how or when God would come through. He didn't have to wait and see. He had to wait for the second part of the answer. He said, yes, I'll do it. Okay, now I'm going to go do it, right? And so even in the preparation, you know, this three-day journey, you know, Abraham knew God could and would come through. He says in verse 5, he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Which again shows, again, the heart of Abraham here to worship, even in the midst of sacrifice. And this is actually the first time in the Bible we see the word worship.
Play some music.
And so we're seeing here how Abraham is using what could be the worst day of his life. He's had some hard days. If you read back in the book of Genesis, he had some hard days of his life. But this was about to be the hardest day of his life. And yet he's willing to worship even in the midst of sacrifice, midst of the trial, midst of the testing. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Even further down in verse 8, it says, Abraham answered Isaac, saying, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And so Abraham didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew God was in it, and he was willing to sacrifice whatever it took. And he also trusted God enough, again, that joyful obedience to go through this trial and this testing. He had such faith in God and such trust in God. He didn't know what it was going to look like, but he knew God would come through. And we actually read this reflected in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, right? Hebrews 11, 17 tells us, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So he knew God's promise to him. He trusted the promise. He took him at his word. And he kept going. Keep that word at the focus of his mind and his heart, even through this trial. When God speaks to you, God gives you a word. He gives you a promise. He gives you a word through somebody else sometimes. Hold on to that promise. Hold on to that word from God, no matter what that season you're going through now looks like. God's promises are God's promises. They don't change because He doesn't change. And even so, it says how he reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And that wasn't something that he had ever seen before. We're reading this after the facts in Genesis 22. God raising someone from the dead hasn't happened. So he doesn't know that it actually could happen. Maybe God's calling you to something you've never done before, never seen before. You don't know how it's going to come through. But God, he can come through with anything. He can come through in this unbefore seen circumstance in Abraham's life. Or if the unbefore seen circumstance is in your life, he can come through too. And when Abraham's going to sacrifice, he's not sacrificing for the promise, but because of the promise. Amen. He's sacrificing that for the promise, not to get a reward out of it, but because of the promise, because he knows God and trusts God and is so grateful to God for that promise. After 100 days of waiting for a son, he's been given a son through Isaac. And yes, he has another son, and it's a whole side story for another day. But because difference makers don't have to be perfect. Okay, we all have things we don't talk about too in our past, okay, as difference makers. But here, God, he's not sacrificing to God to get something for the reward, right? He's sacrificing in worship and trust to the giver of the reward. I love Rob Reamer. He wrote Soul Care. He wrote a couple different books, Spiritual Authority, a couple different things. And he says how you need to sacrifice. Sometimes you need to sacrifice to get to your next level with God. And we even see this in Jesus, right? Looking at Abraham having a sacrifice here, but New Testament reflection in Jesus, right? Jesus is living out sacrificing to God. He's the Son of God. He still has to sacrifice. He still goes into lonely places and isolated places. He still fasts. He still has early morning or even all night prayer times with God. So if Abraham has sacrifice to get to the next level with God, if Jesus has sacrifice to get to the next level with God, how much more you and I, right? I love Rob Reamer also says that we need to seek the face of God more than the hands of God. Seek his face. Seek who he is, not seek to get something through a sacrifice. It's to worship him for who he is, exactly how he is, in the season you're in right now. Amen. The The fourth and final part of being a difference maker, what we need to have, is an intimate, immediate listening to the voice of God. The Holy, for us, it's the Holy Spirit, we know, right? So it got me thinking, I've always, you know, been so struck by this, that Abraham is doing exactly what God called him to do, right? He knows what he's doing. He's walking in it. And yet, in verse 10, it tells us, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. What if Abraham was so busy doing for God instead of listening to the voice of God? What if he hadn't stopped immediately when the angel called to him? What if he's like, God, I got this, God, I'm going to do this. He got too focused on his will and his plans, and he missed the voice of God. What would have happened? He would have killed Isaac. That's how much that minute second, that pause to listen to the voice of God, that immediate response when God tells you to do something, you do it, can be the matter of life or death for somebody. Life or death for Isaac. If he hadn't immediately stopped, he was that close to killing his son. But it's that immediate, here I am. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, what is it? Before he does anything else, right? Because he's so attuned to listening to the voice of God. And he knows when God speaks to him, that's it. Nothing else matters. No matter what he's doing in the moment, no matter what anyone else is calling him to do, like, that matters. That, right? That snap of the finger, that, like, that's it. And that intimacy, and that immediacy in our own relationship with God not only allows us to make a difference in our life, but in the lives of others. Made a difference in Isaac's life, right? And not only that, for Isaac, in verse 13, it says, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Not only did that make a difference for Isaac's life, but having that intimate, immediate voice to listen to the voice of God allows us to see the greater blessing God wants to provide for us when we stop and we listen and we look around to what God's doing, right? Again, we're seeing how not just are these four things crucial in being a difference maker, but unlocks and unleashes the blessings of God, right? So then the first half is, again, as why and how to be a difference maker. The second half is the blessings of it. It says, there's three blessings to come from this, right? The first blessing is an abundant, unexpected provision, right? He said, Abraham said from the beginning, you know, the Lord will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. Not only did he provide a lamb, he provided a ram. That's an even greater sacrifice, right? And so God always provides a ram. The Lord will provide. So he calls the place, the Lord will provide. In the Message version, it's called God Sees to It, right? God sees to it. He sees that to that provision, that thing you're looking for, the thing you're praying for. And he's not just a lamb, not just a small sacrifice, but a ram, a larger, elaborate blessing, right? Elaborate provision than even Abraham expected. And go down verse 16. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, because you have done this, right? God already had the blessing in mind. He knew he was going to do. He's waiting on Abraham to make the move. God has a blessing already prepared for you. He has, again, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what the future looks like for you. He knows what he's going to have planned for you, with a blessing he has ahead and in store for you. He's waiting on Abraham to make the move towards that, towards him. That's where it's a blessing, because Abraham did all this, again, remember, not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing the blessing. He just did it as an act of worship to God, out of obedience. And yet, so he makes the first move in obedience, and then God does the rest. God has the blessing unleashed and poured out now for Abraham because of what Abraham was going to do. Remember, it's a willingness to act more than carrying the act, more than carrying out the act itself sometimes, right? That's what's so crucial, to listen to the voice of God. Because God may call you to sacrifice something and follow through with it. And sometimes, like in my own life, I've had situations where he's called me to sacrifice, and then he sends a ram like this, right? So even Moriah, right? So the annual fast 2022, I felt really convicted about going on a missions trip with our DR missions team. And I spoke no English. I don't like flying in planes. Like, my son was 2 at the time, so I didn't want to leave my son for a week, right? So I was really struggling with this decision. Like, God, should I go on this missions trip? I really struggled with it for weeks. And then during Daniel fast, I got my answer that I was supposed to go on this missions trip. And coming up in November, I cried. Like, I did not want to go on this trip. I cried, but okay, God, this is what you're calling me to do. I need to do this. Like, I need to go on this missions trip, right? Walking out in obedience, right? Hineni, I'll do it, God. So start preparing, start getting ready. And then found out, again, that the summer of 2022, I was pregnant. So I ended up not going on a missions trip. And so even that, like, times when God will call you to sacrifice, to just test your heart. See, will you really do it? I could have said no, God. I could put it aside. But I'm like, no, God, I really feel called to go on this missions trip. So I'm going to go on it. And then God can still, even when we give that initial yes, that willingness, that that sacrifice, God can still step in and say, actually, because here's your reward, here's your blessing now, right? Here's that change in plans. You know, Abraham was about to do it, but because the voice of God changed his plans, not Abraham, right? Because of it, I will bless you and your descendants. Because the blessings aren't just about us, by the difference we can make in the lives and the generations of those around us. Amen. I also love too studying this. One of the research things I pointed out is how Abraham didn't name the place in reference to what he experienced. Abraham didn't name the place Mount Trial or Mount Agony or Mount Sacrifice, right? Instead, he named this mountain in reference to what God did. He named it Mount Provision, Jehovah Jireh, right? He named it knowing who God is and wanting to tell other people who God is through his experience, right? Because God gives us the trials and the testing so that others can have their faith strengthened and other people can have their spirit encouraged and other people get to know the living God better. Amen. Just like Abraham's story is doing now to all of us, right? Abraham's story now is in giving us faith. It's encouraging us. It's strengthening us, right? That's what being a difference maker means. It means you're not thinking about yourself, but about God and how other people can get to know God through what he's calling you to do. Amen? So to close out here, again, our 4 marks of an Abrahamic difference maker today. Number 1, obeying God not out of obligation, of submitted joyful obedience. Point 2, a willingness to persist in the difficult journey God lays before us and trusting him along the way. Point 3, sacrifice as an act of worship. And point 4, an intimate, immediate listening to the voice of God, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our questions will close out here today. With this Easter season coming up, if this is just about 6 to 7 weeks away, this Easter season, which mark of a difference maker do you need to press into and focus on in this next season? Again, we have a lot coming up for Easter. We can meet, maybe it's inviting someone to Easter jam with their family or Easter services. Maybe it's being part of Easter Love Week and loving like crazy with us on hospital workers, on pregnancy centers, on first responders. Maybe it's joining a dream team, again, fusionchurch.cc/jump, and serving as part of our growing church family on Sunday. Maybe it's a financial sacrifice to start giving or start tithing at 10% or giving us another offering towards MIM for all God's doing in your life. What's that thing he's calling you to be a difference maker, not just for yourself, or not just for your family now, but for families across South Jersey and for generations to come. Amen. All right. Dear God, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for this challenge. Thank you, Lord, for these examples throughout the Bible of difference makers. I pray, God, in this time, in this next season ahead, Lord, give us strength, give us courage, give us boldness, give us clarity, Lord God, to what you're calling us to. Help us to sacrifice as you call us to, nothing more, nothing less. And God, let us see your blessing poured out, Lord, over the hearts and the homes of all those represented today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Fusion fam, love you. We'll see you soon. Take care and God bless.